A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We've got some good news out of New York City to talk about. My friend Carl Higbee texted me on Friday to let me know about this emergency order coming from the New York Police Department regarding out-of-state residents, non-residents in New York City, and concealed carry. Now, you know that Carl had sued the city of New York over his inability, along with several other gun owners, their inability to acquire a concealed carry permit in New York. And the NYPD is somewhat bending the knee. We'll get into the specifics here in just a second, but that is going to be the topic of conversation here on today's Cam and Company. Before we delve into the details, though, let's talk about this for a second. Economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you haven't thought about gold yet, now's the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Text GOLD into 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market is golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. All right, so let's talk about the details here. This is the basically the announcement that the NYPD sent out, and I'm just going to quote liberally from this so that you get a good idea of what's going on. They write, on June 23rd, 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin that the state of New York's, quote, proper cause requirement for obtaining a concealed carry firearms license was an unconstitutional restriction on an individual's Second Amendment right to bear arms for self-defense. Since the issuance of that decision, New York City has revised its licensing regulations to remain consistent with current case law pertaining to handgun licensing and continues to do so in response to evolving Second Amendment jurisprudence, including the Supreme Court's decision in U.S. versus Rahimi. Current NYPD rules do not contain formal procedures for applicants who do not reside in New York State, are not principally employed within New York City, and do not have their principal place of business in New York City. A process by which non-state residents can apply for a carry license will ensure that the city is able to properly regulate handgun ownership within New York City while also complying with the Bruin decision. This emergency rule sets forth standards to submit and evaluate applicants for carry licenses made by these individuals, hereafter called non-resident applicants. This emergency rule also amends and clarifies the process of purchasing and adding firearms to an individual's New York City firearms license. Now, I will say that's probably worthy of its own discussion. We're not going to focus on that aspect of it, but there are new rules for individuals who, again, want to have a New York City firearms license. This emergency order, or at least the proposal here, goes on to say, in order to maintain a clear and publicly accessible policy, New York City must immediately implement an operative concealed carry licensing process for non-resident applicants. This emergency rule addresses an imminent threat to safety and property as it allows New York City to maintain a licensing scheme that preserves public safety within the city while ensuring that gun license applications are evaluated in a manner consistent with the Supreme Court's ruling in Bruin. Delaying implementation of these additional rules would severely impede New York City's ability to effectively and legally regulate handgun ownership within its jurisdiction, which is a sort of an oblique way of saying, we got sued and we're going to lose, so we got to do something here, right? So here's the something that they're going to do. They say, in addition to all of the statutory requirements that are already laid out in state law, an applicant seeking a carry or special handgun license or a renewal shall have no conviction for a misdemeanor identified in paragraph A of subdivision 1 of section 400 of the penal law within 5 years of the date of application. That's a new change. Meet in person with a licensing officer in the license division for an interview and provide the documents listed below. Now, that's for everybody who's applying. That's not just for non-residents. There are, however, some problems with requiring non-residents to follow all of these steps that are required for a resident, including that meeting in person with a licensing officer in the licensing division for an interview. If you live, you know, outside of New York City, that's not going to be easy to do, is it? Now, you're also expected to provide a minimum of 4 character references who can attest to the applicant's good moral character. Now, the applicant has not engaged in any act or made any statement that suggests the applicant is likely to engage in conduct that would result in harm to themselves or others. 2 of these references must be non-family members. You also, according to the NYPD, must submit all of your current and former social media accounts from the past 3 years. The term social media means a website, application, or other electronic platform whose principal purpose is to facilitate the public exchange of information, messages, news, or ideas among such websites, applications, or platform users. So hand over your, not your password, but if you're on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, whatever, you're supposed to tell the NYPD, hey, here are my accounts so you can go look them up. Now, what's interesting about this is, and it's so hard to keep track of all of the things that have gone on in New York because you've got multiple lawsuits. But to the best of my knowledge, the Second Circuit Court of Appeals decision that was made back in last December is still applicable to New York State. And in that 261-page ruling, the Second Circuit blocked New York State from mandating that people turn over a list of their social media accounts before they can apply for a concealed carry license. So I'm a little confused, to be honest with you, that the social media requirement is contained within New York City's licensing provision. Now, again, those are for everybody, right? There's also the training certification. So you have to submit a certification of completion of the training required by the New York State penal law, must complete such training and receive such certification no more than 6 months before you submit your application. Applicants whose renewal applications are not subject to such training requirements shall nevertheless, within 6 months of each renewal, submit a certification of completion for 2 hours of a live fire training course. Now, again, that's for everybody who applies. The emergency rule does state that a person who resides outside of New York and is not principally employed within New York City may apply for a carry handgun license pursuant to the section, provided that such applicant meets the following restrictions or requirements, rather. They say the requirements of Section 502, except that the requirement to demonstrate a residence or principal place of business within the confines of New York City under subdivision G of such section, should not apply to an application submitted pursuant to this subdivision. Okay, so you don't have to demonstrate that you live in New York or your principal place of business is in New York to apply. But everything else does apply, including, as I mentioned, the New York specific training courses, the social media mandate, the character references, and that in-person interview. You are also, if you are an out-of-state resident trying to apply for a concealed carry license in New York, you're also supposed to submit a form to be provided by the department that reflects the results of a background investigation undertaken for the purposes of obtaining a firearm license or firearm. The applicant shall provide such form to the local law enforcement agency in each jurisdiction in which the applicant has been a resident in the 5 years preceding the date of the applicant's application for a license pursuant to this subdivision, and shall submit such completed form to the licensing division. So you're supposed to take this form provided by the NYPD to your local police so that they can do a background check. And then you're supposed to take that form and you're supposed to submit it to the New York Licensing Division. Now, why the Licensing Division can't do the background check is beyond me. Why you're supposed to do this for every place where you've lived. Now, again, in some, you know, states, it's the state itself that's the licensing authority, right? In other cases, it might be your county or your town. So depending on where you live, you may be submitting multiple background check forms to multiple law enforcement agencies. And by the way, how timely do you think those agencies are going to conduct this background check, given that they don't have to do this? It's mandated by the NYPD, but it's not mandated by your local law enforcement. I think that's a problem in and of itself. The form also says if the applicant holds a firearms license or permit in any other jurisdiction, such applicant must submit a form to be provided by the department indicating the current and past status of any firearms licenses held by the applicant, including whether other such license is currently in good standing, or whether the applicant has any previous suspensions, revocations, or periods where the license was not in good standing. So in Virginia, for example, I would have to go to the Virginia State Police, or maybe the Buckingham County Sheriff, and have them fill out a form attesting to the fact that my license is active, hasn't been suspended, and things of that nature. Again, this is foisting more responsibilities on other jurisdictions, and if those jurisdictions don't comply, well, you don't get a carry license in New York City. Eric Pratt from Gun Owners of America, which sued along with Carl Higbee and the individual plaintiff, said this is great news for the untold millions of Americans who either work or visit New York every year. It's critical, he says, that everyone can exercise their inherent right of self-defense, but until now, anti-gunners in New York have denied most Americans that basic right. He said, we'll continue to monitor local cases to ensure that the NYPD indeed grants these permits to applicants in a timely and non-onerous manner. Otherwise, he says, we'll gladly file another lawsuit directed specifically at Mayor Adams in the New York Police Department. I have to say, I think there's a sneaking suspicion that there is more litigation on the way. Because in theory, the NYPD has now established a process by which non-residents can apply for a concealed carry license. But in practice, it's going to be almost impossible for non-residents to do this. Keep in mind everything that you have to do before you submit this application, right? You've got to take that 18-hour New York carry course, which to the best of my knowledge is not offered anywhere outside of New York. You know, we've got firearms instructors all around the country who are, you know, doing the Florida training or Utah training, in large part because those states offer so many reciprocal agreements with other states, right? So if you have a Florida carry permit or a Utah carry permit, you can use that to carry in dozens of other states. New York is New York specific. New York doesn't recognize anybody else's carry permit. So there's not really a need for firearms instructors in Kentucky or Texas or Louisiana to offer a New York course. So it's going to be, I would say, almost impossible. In fact, as of today, I think it is impossible for a non-resident to obtain that training unless they travel to New York and are willing to spend a couple of days there, right? This is, again, it's an 18-hour course. So if you're lucky, you can get it done in a weekend. If you're not lucky, you may have to travel to New York for 2 weekends in order to get just the training aspect in hand, right? And then once you get the training aspect in hand, once you've delivered these background check forms to your local licensing authority, and they've hopefully gotten back to you in a timely manner. Because remember, the clock is ticking. Once you've obtained that training, you only have 6 months to apply. So if you apply for that training, or you go through the training, and then it's 7 months before your licensing authority gets back to you and says, oh yeah, here's your permit, sorry about the delay. What happens? The clock starts all over again. You can't submit your application because now your training is null and void. So you've got to start the process all over again. And again, you then have to make a separate trip to New York City itself to sit down for an interview with the NYPD licensing division. Doesn't matter if you live in California or right across the river in, you know, Paramus or Paterson, New Jersey. You still have to travel to New York City to do this interview as part of the application process. Again, in theory, on paper, this emergency rule allows for non-residents to apply and receive a concealed carry license. But in practice, there are so many burdens on those non-residents that I would be shocked if more than a handful of non-residents are able to meet those requirements. So I don't want to downplay the positive aspect of this. The fact that New York recognized that it's in trouble with its current regime is a very, very good thing. And I am not surprised that their first inclination was to say, okay, let's allow for non-residents to apply, but let's put up as many barriers as possible. But now it is up to us, again, to ensure that those barriers are taken down. So based on Eric Pratt's comment, I don't know if this lawsuit is going to actually proceed any further, if there's going to be a sort of a holding pattern here. I'm sure that New York City will move to dismiss this case entirely. But this is just the first step, and it's a good step, and it's an important step. But this is not the end-all, be-all when it comes to obtaining a right to license to carry. And frankly, to me, this shows the need for national right to carry reciprocity. I'll be honest, I haven't been to New York City in a couple of years. I don't know the next time that I'll go. But if I decide, hey, you know what, I want to take my kids up to New York City for a weekend this fall, and I'd like to be able to exercise my Second Amendment rights while I'm doing it, I can't. There's no way that I can. And by the way, even residents of New York City are struggling to get their carry permits. The number of applications has increased exponentially. The last figure I saw was over 7,000 applications, basically a doubling of the, maybe almost a tripling of the applications that were prior to Bruin. But the NYPD licensing division is not even saying how many permits have been approved. They're not saying how long it takes to get approved. But we know that some folks have been waiting close to, and in some cases over, a year before they are able to obtain their permit. And that, again, that's for residents. So, you know, when Eric Pratt talked about GOA continuing to monitor local cases to ensure that these applications are being approved in a timely and non-onerous manner, I see some foreshadowing there. Because arguably, that's not being done right now. And these new provisions for non-residents are almost guaranteed to result in a non-timely application process, because it is going to be so difficult for non-residents to jump through all of the hoops that the city is now mandating. So, again, a good victory, but a long way to go before our right to carry is truly recognized in the Big Apple. All right, before we get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, let's talk about this again. Economists warning us those massive tax hikes could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you have not yet thought about gold, now's the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver by texting GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide. You can also see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree that physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings, and you can act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market is golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. All right, now let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where a teen who pulled a gun on police while running away from them has received probation. Yeah. This was in 2023 is when the original incident took place. The probationary sentence was handed down, I believe, on Thursday of last week. But it was last year police responded to a call of an armed man in southeast Albuquerque, allegedly accompanied by three other individuals. Police say three suspects fled the scene, including 18-year-old Isaac Reyes, who allegedly pulled a handgun while running from officers that led to at least one officer firing at him. According to KRQE, Reyes ended up taking a guilty plea. No contest. So he maintains his innocence, but acknowledged that the evidence against him was strong enough to lead to a conviction. Aggravated attempted assault on a police officer with a deadly weapon. And Judge Jennifer Wernersbach sentenced Reyes to just 18 months of supervised probation after pleading guilty to that felony charge. You know, again, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham has essentially waged war on our right to keep and bear arms. Remember, she tried to establish a carry ban in the entirety of Albuquerque and Bernalillo County. because of her self-declared gun violence emergency. Now, the courts limited Governor Grisham's edict. Now, I believe it applies only to playgrounds in Albuquerque and Bernalillo County. But her first thought was, you know what, let's stop people from being able to carry a firearm in self-defense. Meanwhile, what's happening to individuals who are pulling guns on cops? Nothing, really. 18 months of supervised probation, which means you check in with your probation officer maybe once a month. Maybe you have a GPS monitor that doesn't really monitor you. It's a slap on the wrist and nothing more. While, again, Democrat lawmakers and the governor herself continue to make legal gun owners a problem that must be solved. All right, today's armed citizen story from San Antonio, Texas, where police say a woman fired a gun at men who were beating her brother with a baseball bat. Thankfully, again, she was in the right place at the right time and willing and able to step up and do the right thing. This was a Sunday morning, about 1:45. A 35-year-old man and some family members were at a bar, but were thrown out. Police said that the man was in an altercation with multiple people. So the man and family members then left the bar in separate vehicles, drove down the street. They pulled over to talk to each other. While they were talking, the San Antonio police said other people followed them from the bar, pulled up to the scene, and started beating the man with a baseball bat. That is when the man's sister pulled out a gun and started shooting towards her brother's attackers, according to the San Antonio police. When police arrived on the scene, the attackers had already fled. Police say that the attackers actually fled soon after the shots were fired. The man taken to the hospital. At last report, he was stable. Police added they're trying to determine if the man was stabbed during the altercation or was accidentally shot in the melee. Not knowing if any other person was shot, no other injuries reported from the altercation. The San Antonio Police Department still investigating the incident. Now, excuse me, we don't know the details of the circumstances that led to this family being told to leave the bar. May very well have been that they were causing problems there. But once they left, they didn't try to go back, right? They left the area, they stopped, they were talking, and the problem, at least as far as the bar patrons were concerned, was over. So once those other individuals left the bar, came up upon this family and started beating this man with a baseball bat, they were the initial aggressors. That is pretty clear. And it sounds to me like this woman had every right to protect her brother from a group of individuals who were beating him with a baseball bat. We will keep our eyes open, though, for any more details and further information coming out of this story in San Antonio, Texas. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. An 18-year-old in Aurora, Ohio, who came to the aid of a woman who nearly drowned in floodwaters. I don't know if this was the aftermath of Debbie making its way up the East Coast. We had about 7 inches of rain here in Central Virginia. Thankfully, no severe flooding. But Melissa Fitzwater says that she was trying to just leave the area when she ended up falling into the floodwater. She was in this neighborhood in Aurora on Thursday working for a client. She's getting ready to leave, but she couldn't drive out because of all the flooding on the roads. She said it seemed like both exits out of the area were blocked, so there was no way for me to leave. Talked to a police officer who said, you know, you should probably just walk to, you know, a dry area and see if you can, you know, find somebody to pick you up. So she called her mom and decided, okay, you know, meet me here at this corner. I'm going to get to this corner here. She says the street was filled with water, but when she got to an intersection, she said, as soon as I walked off this grass patch, I went underwater. She said it was like life flashed before my eyes. I felt for the concrete edge and I grabbed onto it. And that's when I sat there and waved my arm up saying, please help me. Well, Andrew Marino, 18 years old, was nearby with a couple of friends. And he actually got into the water, started swimming. So we're talking about fairly deep water, and saved Fitzwater before she could get sucked into a nearby drainage pipe. Marina says, I'm shocked that I didn't get caught up on one of the rocks, honestly. He says, there's so many ways the situation could have gone poorly. Marino heading off to college. I believe this past weekend he headed off to college to study finance and play football. And he said, you know, we're here for a good time, not a long time, but still you want to make that time as long as you can. So, yes, I think that that is a applicable statement. And Andrew Marino doing what he could to save a stranger from drowning in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Kudos to you, Andrew Marino. Hope you have a successful summer, or a successful fall, I guess, in college. Good luck with the finance major and playing football. And as for Melissa Fitzwater, well, she says that she's just glad to be here, glad to be alive. Yeah, absolutely. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program, as always. Looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. But make sure you're checking out BearingArms.com for the very latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. We've got you covered, whether it's legislation, litigation, regulation, armed citizen stories, the latest anti-gun machinations from the Harris-Walz campaign, and, of course, the media bias in covering and covering up the anti-gun machinations of the Harris-Walz campaign. All there at BearingArms.com. And if you like what you see, I would encourage you to become a VIP or VIP Gold member. Just use the promo code SAVEAMERICA, and you can get a significant savings on your VIP or VIP Gold membership. Not only will you get exclusive content and an ad-free experience, but you'll be helping to support the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing at Bearing Arms, and we appreciate that very much. So thank you again. Congratulations to my buddy Carl and Gun Owners of America on a significant win. Let's hope that there is more to come in New York City. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.